Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name's Nick with my guys, Robbie and Mike. We're going to talk some kicks. We're going to probably talk some, maybe some One Piece. What else we got? We got some crazy news that happened today. We'll get into that. But apparently one of the biggest resale shops in LA has maybe been selling counterfeits. Who knows? I don't even know. How you guys doing? It's been a while. I haven't been on.
Crap. Oh, all good over here, man. Just, you know, work, same old day, same things, different day, basically.
I'll be like Rihanna also, just work. I'm good. Nick, how are you?
I'm good, man. Just trying to keep things moving forward, man. Still looking for work and still trying to downsize my collection and enjoy the process. So slowly
That's
but surely.
That's the real thing. The downsizing the collection thing. That's a whole other topic. We want to know what's going to work.
Yeah. I was telling Mike, we won't get into this too much, but I was telling Mike, I've got like basically most of my collection moved into my garage / house for the first time probably since like 2006 that I haven't had storage. It might even be before that, to be honest. Time to start going through things and making some room. But yeah, again, a whole different topic. Let's hear about this journey. You just went on like an expedition to get One Piece cards.
Yeah. So the new, it's called PRB02, which is like the season of a sneaker release, like summer, spring, I guess. I'm probably describing that poorly. But anywho, it's just like, it's a box. If you do Pokemon or you do Yu-Gi-Oh or you do baseball, basketball, It's a box of cards, One Piece cards. But I got into the hobby really recently, and this is the first time it's been like a release day while I've like been collecting. And I spent the last couple of days on like the local Portland, Oregon, like card collecting forums. Just trying to gauge if it's like a sneaker drop or not. Because a lot of people now who don't know anything about shoes know what a sneaker release is like. You know, they're not in that world. It's just proliferated into other markets of things. You could equate it to a sneaker release and they could be like, oh yeah, it is or isn't like that. So the consensus was you don't really need to have that same kind of effort as a sneaker release for the cards, but this is one of the hotter releases in a while. For context, the last one, they're still in stores, you could like buy them easily for retail. And it's been such an eye-opening experience, because for as different as sneakers are store to store, whether there's a raffle or first come, first serve, whether they'll let people wait out front for a line, if they don't, all those elements are present, but there's a lot more like ambiguity that I don't think you don't see in sneakers. I was lamenting in the group chat earlier, the first store I went to today in my plan of attack, they got their shipment late and they're not going to have them today. But their location 40 minutes away have some.
That's crazy.
But you can only buy 4 packs. So this is a box. There's 24 packs. There's 20 packs in this box. So you can only buy 4. I'm like, well, I'm not going to drive all the way out there for like the equivalent of like buying a pair of Vans. Like I could buy a pair of Vans online and not leave the house. So yeah. I didn't do that. Then I went to another store. They had a line out and around the block. So I called.
Holy crap.
I was just like, hey, do you have the cards? Knowing they do, they're like, we have a couple. There's a line outside. I don't think if you're getting in the line now, you're gonna get one.
At least it tempered expectations, though. I like the fact they weren't saying, "Hey, yeah, just jump in line."
Every single store I've called kept it very real. Like, not the sneaker stores don't keep it real, but like they were just like, "Hey, there's a very few, or this is the limit. Your shop's not looking good."
Straight to the point. I like
it. So when noon hit, another store up the street, I knew they're really close to my house, away from the suburbs. I'm going to go give them a shot. They had a whole bunch of them, one per person. So I brought Danielle, and so I got 2 of them there. It was $165. The store in Beaverton that had the line around the block, they were charging $140. So the prices aren't...
Wait, $140 a box?
Yeah, 140 a box. So I paid 165 a box. And then while I was in that in front of that store, I called another store up the street and said, hey, do you have them? And do you have any limits? They said, yes, we have them. And as much as your wallet can take. So I went to that store and I bought two more. And those were at 155. I researched all morning and yesterday what retail is. There isn't a retail answer. Like, I don't know if Bandai just doesn't like tell people what a cost is. Like MSRP, I assumed it was going to be like 110. And then when I thought they were, I was getting ripped off at 165, I did more research. Some shops selling them for 175, some are for 185. And so it's like, there's no.
Bro, are you serious?
I want a pair of the Jordan, like the Tokyo Kawhi 54, Jordan 5s, and someone telling you they're 190. No, they're 220. No, they're 250. No, they're 280.
Hey, bro, I was just talking to a friend. Remember when Shoe Palace actually used to do that? When Jordan 1s, like 2017, 16, 17, 18, whatever that was.
They'd go up.
Where like Jordan 1s would come out and they'd charge like 10 or 20 or 30 bucks on top of retail. Like,
I didn't know that. I'm glad I didn't go shop with them back then.
Yeah. I mean, like back then, everybody was buying everything. So like they could get away with it. And, you know, like that was like the early days of StockX too. So like you can't really blame them. Like, you know that people are just going to come in, buy. If you don't have limits, they're going to buy a bunch and flip them. So like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they had, you know, other kind of loyalty programs and stuff. And you know, like, it's kind of like what Robbie was alluding to, though, right? One thing that kind of is, it's not everybody in the sneaker world, but like just the sneaker game in general is kind of like, if you know someone, you're better off, right?
Yeah.
And like that makes it difficult for people to come into and experience it and get joy out of like the stuff that we love about it, right? Kind of like this stuff. It seems like, you know, like people, if people are lining up, then obviously it's like not a like.
And what's cool surprise, is like if people are backdooring them, there's enough for people to still get some. So definitely hook your friends up. You're working at a store for a reason.
Yeah, but exactly.
Like, there's enough stock, base stock to like satisfy. They'll be gone by the end of the day. Like you have to be on it still.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
So can I make the analogy here? So like, because I've seen the mayhem that people buying booster boxes for Pokemon cards are.
Yeah.
Would One Piece be like the Asics to the Pokemon's Jordan? Because I've seen like people ready to square up for some Pokemon boxes. Like people will like barricade themselves in the aisle in Target, put them all in there. I'm like, if that was the case, if my kid wanted one, me and this person go square up because I just want one and you're trying to push all of them in your basket. I'm ready to fight.
Mike, I would have never put that analogy together, but it's brilliant that you did because Pokemon definitely is, I will say it bigger, it's more like Nike because
okay, there we go.
They have people who are like, you know, Mike and I are in our mid-30s who grew up on Pokemon, mm-hmm. who want their kids to have it. Then there's the kid market who want it, and there's the scalpers. So there's so many different people trying to buy the product, and it's more of like a legacy product.
Yeah.
That like, yeah, it has like the credentials of Nike of being in the market for so long, it's weathered ebbs and flows in the market, and now it's at a really hot point to where people our age want to get back into it. Yeah, it's just, it's families. It's single dudes.
Like the specification, single dudes.
Thing, and One Piece is definitely more. There's definitely big money in cards. Like thousands
of
cards.
Crazy, so, man. Like,
the money is there, but it's not the size. So it is like a small, I'd say more like New Balance even.
Like, so what's like your goal with this drop? Are you looking for specific cards? Are you looking to flip some stuff? Like how, I did that with like Formula One cards for a little while. And I did that with baseball cards back in the day, basketball cards. But like most of the stuff that I really love, like I know how much you love One Piece. Like I relate it to me and like Marvel cards back in the day. Like I literally went and bought Marvel cards like a couple years ago when they came back out.
Nice.
The masterpieces, because it's like, oh, I just want these. I don't really like, of course, if you get something that's super rare and super, you know, limited, it's cool. But like, I'm going to keep them and just have them to look at and like admire.
Yeah,
I'm definitely.
But
like,
is that
so,
like a part of the game with,
unlike
with
in the
One Piece cards?
I was more gravitated towards these than baseball or basketball. I'd probably do basketball cards if I didn't do these. But you can play, there's a whole game, like a battling game, like Pokemon or Magic associated with One Piece. So my game plan has been like playing the game. Because, like, long story short, I'm trying to find more things that are just, like, wholesome fun. So,
nothing wrong with that.
Go to the card shop, and I can just, like, get sweaty with other dudes playing card games. If I pull something rare, awesome. Like, if it's something really cool. But, like, to me, at this point, everything is really cool, and everything is new to me. That's why, so, like, this kind of more context, this box, it's reprints of like the first releases, like the hottest cards. Okay. A really great example would be like Shattered Backboards. They just retroed those to like not only bring the market down, but let have more people have the things they want. So there's a lot of cards in here that are worth a lot, but they're going to bring the market down. So it's more approachable for people who have been in it and have been priced out of like the rarer things. So it's going to bring the market down. Some people aren't happy about that, like sneakerheads, right? An undefeated Jordan 4. Why are you bringing these back? My Luffy card's worth $6,000. Why would you retro it already to bring the price down? Like, so it's like, my goal is to play with them and build friends and like be in the community. And I still like, I pull rare, like, I don't know how rare is yet. I'm not really going balls deep into the economics of the cards. And I'll bet, ooh, this is really shiny and pretty. And I like enjoy the pretty aspect of it. But
that's awesome.
It definitely is like correcting the market and way some retros are doing nowadays. One side note to that is I went to Bait and they had the Shattered Backboard ones. I had them in my size, but I held them. And it's like the quality is so different than the original ones. I can't just like they look great, but I can't justify buying them over spending $160. I'd rather pay $165 for a pack of cards than $180 for a Jordan 1 I already have, and the quality isn't as good. So it's
Totally. I mean, it's also just like an experience too, right? Like that used to be a thing in sneakers, and I feel like it's gone so far away from it. You know, there's still like experiences like for certain releases, but there's nothing really to differentiate you going and buying a pair of Shattered Backboards versus like the first time they came out and maybe you were lined up or knew somebody that worked on it or whatever. And like the repeated part of it just doesn't really work as well in sneakers anymore. Cause I feel like most people get to the point where it's like, okay, well, my collection is crazy, or like everybody feels like it's saturated and you're always wearing something different to like just experience something new. And that doesn't play into the collectible nature of it. Kind of like Mike was talking about before we started recording about his channel on YouTube, you know, like who wants to see a review of Shattered Backboards again, 5 years later? Like, you know what the shoe is if you paid attention. Yeah, there's some new people, but the excitement for that shoe is just not the same. And, you know, like they can make it limited and they can make people mad and make people talk about it. But like at the end of the day, like the consumer experience is kind of garbage for a lot of releases. So what's going to happen in like 4 or 5 years when you've tapped out all of those crazy shoes? You know, like I got a wall of shoes behind me that's like super nuanced, you know, like who knows about Opium 180s, Soul Collector 180s, Soul Collector Air Max 95s, or Nike Town Air Max 90s. Those shoes are super special to me, but it's because of the memories associated with all of that time. They can't re-release any of these shoes and have people care about it. Like the Bacon Air Max 90s are the perfect example of that. Like I got a pair thanks to my friend Charlie over at Stadium Goods. He helped, you know, he hooked me up with a pair way after the fact. And like that was like, for me, really special because I had wanted that shoe all along. You know, like I remember going to New York when I moved there for Complex and being like, oh, walking around and like, oh, this is where DQM used to be and like learning about the history around the city. But like they can't redo that energy. You know, like the sneakerhead community is so small compared to, you know, releasing a infrared Air Max 90 to the masses. So I feel like these kind of collectible things that are bubbling up right now are the same kind of formula for building the community that we kind of saw happen in the early 2000s and into the 2010s, where like now it's kind of like, okay, it's kind of faded away. And like, you know, there's people that still care about it, but like, we're not going to be stressed about buying a pair of shoes the way we would have been 10, 15 years ago. And like, that'll happen with Labubus in 10 years, you know, it happened with Pokemon or, you know, with...
No, it happened with Pokemon for a long time, and it's that came back. Of like things do come, and your excitement you feel with them. The Bacon Air Max 90 is a great example. So I've been having a hard time trying to describe this feeling. It's like I still love shoes; they're a huge part of my personality and who I like. I love shoes still; that hasn't changed. But the endorphins don't fire off the same way, and that's why I didn't buy a pair of Bacon Air Max 90s. Looking at that shoe, I appreciate the history. It looks great. I love the model, but my brain wasn't firing off. I need to have that the same way they fire off for have been firing off for these.
Yeah.
And it's like Mike or Nick too. When was the last time like you had a sneaker experience? Like I went to a store today and saw other people and got like not a literal high five, but like a hey, good luck opening, or like open them here and see what it's like. Or like it felt like a community legitimately versus ordering a pair of shoes online and having them show up. So go ahead.
I was saying, sneakers are so easy to get now in a sense of you have all these places to get them. I mean, because as you were talking about the cards, I know I'm a big comic book guy and I have never played Magic in my life, but the Magic Spider-Man cards, I'm like, well, that's just kind of cool. I would love to have that. I went to the website. You can't even buy them there. You have to go find a local store to go do that. So like this is a whole experience. Last time I even had something close to that was when Britt and I went to New York. And I'd never been to Kith. They had just done a grand reopening. And then I got the Soul 2.03s. That was the, you know, talk to people about it, you know, go in the store and do it. But other than that, I mean, you don't, you're right. You don't have that same feeling anymore. Because it's like, my mouse, click, the shoe's on the way in, you know, 5 or 7 days.
When the cardboard is over. And it's like, oh, you look at them, you maybe try them on.
Yeah.
But then they go in the closet and then they're in the bunch.
Well, and I think like the community stuff all moved to the internet for us with sneakers, right? Like the purchases moved there, and then collectively too, like we kind of moved into like, I mean, look, we were doing the Discord stuff for the last 4 or 5 years where like I've probably posted the shoes on my feet less than a dozen times over the last 2-3 years. But in the Discord, I'm posting pretty regularly because I know who's in there. Like I'm like, I get to see, you know, it's still community to me. But like, I also don't like in that world, I don't need to buy new stuff to like have that same, oh, I remember those conversations, which is exactly what Robbie's saying, right? Like, you know, like you spend a bunch of money and then it sits in a box because you have 100 and some odd other pairs that you still need to wear. And it just kind of is like, all right, well, like there's this huge shift in I think the nature of it where like, I don't know how sneakers is going to get past it either. Cause like, you see a lot of the brands kind of numbers struggling, right? And like, I saw this on LinkedIn this week, but you know, like Nike came out and was like, hey, they're up and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if you pay attention to the sneaker world, you know that like hundreds of people just got laid off. And then on top of that, you see Nike rehiring a bunch of roles. Like they post, it's like within a week, people get laid off. And then all these people on LinkedIn are like, hey, I'm hiring for my team. And it's like, that literal title was just like a fraction different, you know, in the description a week ago. And you let that person go, which, you know, like crazy. It's part of the game. I get it. But like, I feel like we're getting to the point where, you know, the, and maybe this is too far down the rabbit hole, but like the experiments of like just absolutely unhinged capitalism, which I'm super thankful for because it gave me the opportunity to do what I do with sneakers for 20 years. Like it also doesn't work, right? Like it doesn't, it's not a, you know, sustainable approach to sneakers as a business, as we've seen, you know, like seeing like the resale shops close, right? And then seeing like, you know, Mike and I were talking a little bit before we started recording, like Cool Kicks LA getting raided while they're on Whatnot, streaming, you know, and selling stuff. It's kind of like, I don't know the guys. I've been into the stores a handful of times when I lived in LA, but it's almost like you kind of just know that like if the big businesses are moving out of this, if Foot Locker's, you know, not funding Flight Club in the same way, or if Stadium Goods closed down their stores and they had a multi-billion dollar business, then like how do these like smaller businesses, you know, stay afloat? And you kind of, it kind of makes you wonder like how any of these, you know, like I could see in a small town, you know, like if you're the place to go for sneakers, you can make that work. But when you're trying to be like this big entity in the sneaker world, but you've got all these big players right down the block because you're in LA, it seems hard to wrap my head around how that could possibly work and how that could be sustained when, you know, like we know that there's not as many people buying shoes. People are not reselling shoes the way they were. Like, even if they're selling the shoes that they had, that's not the same kind of profits as, hey, a brand new shoe came out, you know, a Jordan 1 came out and it's reselling for $75 over retail and everybody wants to make a buck off of that shoe. Those shoes don't exist right now in the same way. So it's a really weird kind of time. But also to my point, I think it's just we're moving past the crazy profit-driven aspect of it to like this business is going to have to like be reeled in and become sustainable as a like proper, we make shoes, we sell shoes, or we retail shoes and we sell shoes. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because like for me, kind of like what Robbie's saying, and Robbie going to get these One Piece cards, there's more value in that to me. Even if I'm not like a huge, I mean, I've watched One Piece, but like, and I like it, but like, I'm more interested in that conversation today, right now, than any of the shoes that we're going to talk about that are coming out. And I have no, I think I do have a couple of like One Piece, like tchotchkes around the house, but like, I don't have like a collection of anything from One Piece. I just, you know, it's just an interesting time.
Options. I mean, that's one of the big things. If, you know, talk about what Robbie said there, there's all these options now. And Cool Kicks, for example, yeah, I've been in their store once. Everything's super expensive. Like, and they didn't, it's not keeping up the times. It's not like we know now that I can go on any of the apps. Most of these resale apps, unless it's something crazy special, it's a sale section. Like, I can go buy things for, like, if I want to go get, let's say I'm trying to think of one, shattered backboards. They're still sitting on shelves at, like, Foot Locker, fill in the blank, you know, actual retailer for $180. I don't want to spend $180. I can go to Goat, I can go to StockX, I can go to Poison, whatever it may be, and I'm going to spend $140 plus shipping, right? So with them being trying to sustain this level of exclusivity, this, we're special, it's about, you know, we're about money over here. You can't do that. And with them having all this, you know, this retail space, all the things that they're supposedly doing, like you said, it just kind of makes you wonder how the door's still open and what's happening if you're still trying to sell Panda Dunks at $300.
Yeah, I saw one of like the, was it the Smoke Jordan 4? Like, it was like actually smoke gray looking.
I know what
Jordan
you're talking 4. About. Yeah.
Someone posted on Reddit. They're on sneakers right now for $220, and then someone's asking in their local town $400 on their for their store.
Get out of here.
Tripping. But like, I think what is missing is situations where someone in their teenage years can go in and have a new experience and then fall in love with shoes and then build a 20-year customer. Like the Air Max 95 Yu-Gi-Ohs, like the Joey looking ones, the dot swooshes.
Yeah.
Awesome. There was a Japan only release for an exclusive colorway of it, mm-hmm. only in Shibuya. They have the resources. There's all these card shops across the country. There's 20 of them in Portland alone. You could have very easily put those Yu-Gi-Oh shoes. They all sell Yu-Gi-Oh cards too. All these shops. Like, you could very easily put something on, I'm not saying in every city, but maybe a bigger than just Japan situation. Oh,
for sure.
So then you can have somebody coming in, they're learning about Dot Swoosh organically. Like, oh, what are these being released through? Oh, Dot Swoosh and Yu-Gi-Oh. Cool. Brand recognition. You see a product, you get to like it. A card you already know about, it's included with the shoes. You have all these aspects culminating together for an experience that you're never going to forget. Versus even going to Dot Swoosh, signing up for the Get Notified, getting an alert email saying, hey, do you want to buy these Yu-Gi-Oh Air Max 95s? Click it, click it, click it. A week later, you forgot you did it. They show up at your house. Cool. And you go put them in your closet and it's over. So it's like, it's, I don't know how to say it other than lack of wanting to spend on what's really grassroots marketing. Yeah. You can go do all the sample sizing and take statistics all you want and pull people and put stuff in La Brea and do it at Soho in these really exclusive spots. Or you could use your own footprints you have as stores. Do it at Nike outlets. Put stuff. It's just.
It's simple. Like, it's almost so simple that it's complicated for people now, because another good example of just maybe someone paying attention more than we think. So Reebok and PlayStation are going to be celebrating the PlayStation's 30th anniversary, right? And I was talking to...
Those shoes look fantastic, by the way.
I love every last one of them. So they're not releasing online. So I was talking to a Reebok rep, and I was just asking her about it. I was like, so what is, like, what's the process going to be here? I don't know the exact numbers. They're going to be limited to something like, of course, that Yu-Gi-Oh! And Dot Swoosh pack. But unlike that Dot Swoosh pack, where you can just, like you said, I got a notification, I can go buy it, you're going to have to go find this shoe, apparently. So I think it might be, like, I don't know what would be in Japan and whatever they're doing here. You're going to go to these stores and actually... I'm sure they're going to have activation set up, which is always fun, like, for the consumer. And you're going to have to go find the shoe, go seek it out. Like, you want to go seek out these cards. And that gives you an experience. It's like, true PlayStation fans, because you're not putting these at GameStop, because GameStop's pretty much dead. But, you know what I'm saying? They're dead.
Best Buy.
True Best Buy. But true fans of both PlayStation and Reebok, or, you know, one or the other, we'll go seek these out because it's a meaningful shoe for those who collect on either side. And it's not just a simple, I gotta get this credit card information in real fast. They'll probably be experiencing something cool at the same time, which I think is, again, what we're missing. A lot of these things we're missing because either A, it's online, or B, these cool events are catered to the hip people in crowds. Like, oh, here's our same five creators we're going to keep inviting. It's not to the general public. Like, make it to the general public to where they can come in and get it.
Mike, that's a great example. Nike does so many things with, like, Nike LA and, like, running groups, and Nike New York and, like, their running groups. Everyone has feet. There's routes everywhere, there's so many outlets. Yeah, it's just, I like what you said. It's so easy, it becomes complicated. Logistically, I get how it's complicated, but on, like, thought process, it sounds so simple. It's right. Two simple person.
Yeah. Well, and you nailed it too, Robbie, with, like, the thought that the online purchase, right? Like, there's no analytics to show how many smiles, how many people remember your brand experience, right? But you can look at analytics and say, we made money off of this shoe. So, like, that's the problem with, like, a lot of the brands in the way that they think is, you know, it's a bottom line game, right? It's mm-hmm. Hey, we got to be profitable. We got to sell these shoes. And for them, you know, like, you sell 500 pairs of a shoe in a store, that's worth 10 times more than selling 500 pairs of shoes on a website, in my opinion, because every person that comes into the store to buy that shoe remembers that they got it from that store. They remember the person that they talked to. They remember the experience they had if you do it right. And, like, that, it, to me, is, like, kind of the, you know, backwards world we're living in with like a lot of the, like, sneaker stuff. It's, they did Undefeated and Nike and Jordan did a good job with the fours, you know, like, getting out and being a part True. Of the community. And, like,
they did good there. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that is, like, the, you know, the thing that I think is just, it's so crazy how obvious it is as a consumer, as somebody who, like, cares about this stuff as we do. Right. But then, like, even in my roles in work, you know, throughout my career, like, selling that to the COOs and CEOs and the CFOs that make all those decisions is always challenging because they look at it and think, well, we need more money. And I look at everything and think, no, you just need people to care about each other and their experiences more. You know, like, that's what you need. You need two people to walk into your store, to your point, Robbie, like the One Piece stuff or the Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. Like, if you walked into a card shop, comic book shop, and bought a pair of 95s, Yu-Gi-Oh 95s from that store with your friend, you were going to talk about that for the next 20 years. Like, holy shit, we just got these shoes at a card shop. And then you're going to tell your kids about that experience and they're going to go buy Yu-Gi-Oh cards when they're like Mike's kid's age. You know, like, that's how it works. But you can't measure that analytically, you know?
No. And, like, I remember this is that same point. I'm sure both of you do too. Going up and signing up for raffles in, like, 2010 and 2008 mm-hmm. for sneakers with your friend, and then getting a call back and again to go back and pick them up. Like, that's a very simple and basic in-store experience. But now it's like you want to try to backdoor stuff before it's even release it online, this, that, and the third.
Yeah,
I'm on the Discord for the card stuff, and there's employees of the shops who are like, someone will ask, hey, how much stock is still at this store? And someone working there will say, they just said there's 60 packs still, 60 boxes still. So it's like, there's no, hey, the morning rush is over. Let's put these 60 in the back and let's resell them in 3 weeks when they're all sold out everywhere. There's no, I'm going to go call my friend, have them go pick up these 60 because the morning rush is gone. Like, people are still like, you come get them. Like, please come make yourself happy.
Yeah.
And, like, something you don't see in sneakers a lot. In our Discord, sure. You'll see people, you know, with the assists, they're like, hey, there's a restock here, yada, yada. But for the most part, it's, you know, in public, it's every man eats for himself, man for himself. So I'm not going to tell you how many size 12s are there left because I want one of those size 12s. So, like, that's valuable information.
Well, in theory, like, when you put it that way, Robbie, I mean, sneakerheads pretty much calls the state of sneakers because of that, because there's no, like, everyone, if you're on, like, X or Twitter, whatever the heck you call it, there's always this ongoing debate about sneaker community. I'm like, because of conversations like that, the debate, it shouldn't be a debate. It's a simple deal. It's like, I can experience something with a fellow person. I can help somebody else. Someone's helped me. That's it. But because of that, like, kind of dog-eat-dog mentality around a shoe, which is silly, literally got to the point where people started just like, you know what? I'm gonna bounce to a different hobby because this is silly now. And so this has been self-inflicted by quote unquote people who thought they were a part of community because I gotta have it and I don't want to help anybody else. This is the outcome of said, like you say, that kind of rabid consumerism.
Well, and it's also like the monetizing of that, right? You have like the, you know, the resell platforms, the communities, the Discords, the cook groups, all of these people that are like,
cook
let
groups.
Me get.
I hate that title, by the way.
Yeah, but it's
community
like
community of like in a cook group. Yeah. It's like most oxymoron.
But it's. I mean, it is to a certain point, right? You're looking out for people that are doing what you do. But like the reality is, like when you're looking out for people to take advantage of the situation, you're in a dog eat dog world in that sense. And I think with like the community side of it, right? Like the, you know, the Discords that people paid to get into, or, you know, the soul savvies of the world, where it's like you're buying into the community aspect of it, which, you know, I don't know, like, is that something that needs to be monetized? Like, I get that it's a business. And I understand and respect people's wanting to build a business on top of the sneaker world. But to me, it just always feels like, you know, like kind of weird that like there's not a lot of extra money in the sneaker world, really, right? Like people don't spend a ton of money on extra things. You know, like the people that are like more into fashion don't spend as much on sneakers. They spend it on a way different, you know, assortment of things. People that are diehard in sneakers, like now that we've gotten to the point where, you know, everything is not everything, but like a large portion of the market is saturated, all those people that are like, you know, we see it in the people that pull back from just supporting on Patreon, where it's like, you know, people aren't as into sneakers as they were because they're not getting the same like fulfillment out of being a part of the community or buying new shoes or talking to people about shoes. And totally okay. And I understand that. Like, I'm not mad about that. But then I look around and I'm like, it's no wonder that we're kind of seeing some of these things kind of slowly fall off and people leave and like move away from like the collector kind of community nature of sneakers because of all those things. Cause you know, there's way better ways to spend your time connecting with community and people, even if it's a consumer driven thing, like buying cards, that's still going to be way more fun. You know, like I'd rather sit on stream and watch Robbie unbox all these cards than watch, no offense, Mike unbox a pair of shoes that I'm not going to be able to get anyway.
Dang. Moving on to cards. Here we go.
Well, I heard you were getting the Magic Spider-Man cards, so I'll be on there for that, you know.
Well, I mean, if I can find them, I'm sure it won't be easy. Like, let's say, I mean, that's one of those things. It's like, it's that dual fandom. Like, I'm not a Magic. I've never owned Magic in my life, but I love Spider-Man. Yeah. And it's like, well, that will make me go buy. So I'll probably be one of those people like, they're like, why they make this card? Because this guy's going to buy him up. I'm that guy, so I'm sorry if I I apologize, guys.
Yeah, man, it's a crazy time. But speaking of size 12s, let's hear what you've been rocking. What you're copping?
Yeah, actually, I'm happy you said that because the marathon continues. I wore my Nipsies today.
There you go. I haven't seen those
nice
in a while.
Yeah.
I think these are like RS10s or RSX, RSXRs.
These RSX, yeah.
Yeah, super comfortable. I found this like BMW Puma jacket and storage. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to go all Puma today.
Dang, look at them, billboard.
Yep.
And the importance of a jacket that has good pockets, bro, is the button and zipper, four of them.
Dang.
So that's a winner. And when it comes to copping, these, you know, the cards, but when it comes to shoes, those, and I'm not just saying this to Mike and I or to plug it. Those PlayStation Reeboks are outstanding just because I had the PlayStation 1 in that exact, like, I had, like, the frosty-looking one and the gray, and it's kind of like the slim white one and, like, the original big brick one.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it just capture the look of that shoe, I mean, of that design and that console so well in a shoe. Those are easily what I want to cop. Yeah, those make me happy.
Yeah, that's nice. A good one.
Yeah.
What you got, Mike?
So my rockin' is actually going to be the John Geiger 004, the creamsicles. Nice. Dude, I've been really into like independent shoes lately just because this has been more entertaining and like something different. Like you know, talk about those excitement levels. These people have been doing different things than we just seen retro after retro after retro. And I think it's really cool, especially what we got going on, like with this shoe, super comfortable. And then my Coppin, I'm in the same boat as Robbie. Look, I already sent a couple of emails. I don't know if I got to beg, but I don't care which one. The size 10, if it can just magically appear, I will be forever grateful, because I remember my dad, like, surprised me with the first PlayStation, and remember the box, remember, like, the controllers, you know, everything's still wired, the memory cards, all of that, just kind of, like, they captured that so great in that shoe. I mean, if I had my pick, I think I like the Workout Plus the best, but, again, I'm not even picky. Any one of them, I could buy it or someone sends it, I don't care. I will give you money. I want that shoe.
So I'm going to just mix it up and go Coppin first. I'm in the same boat. I actually want the Pump Furies. That's one of my favorite shoes. It is crazy. It's been a long time since we would all collectively agree on the shoe, like, right now that we want to be Coppin. But rocking wise, I wearing the AE1 Lows recently to the gym a little bit. So the shoe's still just one of my favorites. Although
that's amazing.
Seeing Mike with the AE2 review, I definitely want that colorway of the new AE2, that first colorway.
Dude, they're more comfortable. Like, surprisingly enough, they actually made them more comfortable than the first ones.
And I want to say also, I saw on Reddit an in-hand photo of the LeBron 23, the 40K. They're still too extra, but they look a lot better. I just wanted to amend my statements from the last episode. The design isn't it, but, like, they look better than the official photos did them any justice.
Oh, really? I mean, probably put too much light.
Interesting. And okay. Yeah.
Ramped it up on Photoshop, and that's why I look crazy on the official pics.
It was not hidden. The in-hand people's pickup photos.
Yeah.
Very nice. Now, much nicer. I don't know about very nice. Much nicer.
Well, they sold out, surprisingly. I mean, I guess first colorway of a new model typically does, but I was surprised that, because the way people talk about LeBron shoes, I didn't think they would actually sell out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of rare. You make 40 pairs of something, it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Just to make it limited enough that first colorway will always sell out.
There you go.
Just kidding.
Another strategy that I think can be left in the past, but that's a topic for another time. You guys got anything, any last parting thoughts before we get out of here?
No.
If you're just listening to this episode, you definitely need to watch it, because Robbie's got the greatest artwork of all time on the wall behind him. And if you're an OG listener, you probably remember when this showed up in the pod before, or when Robbie talked about it, I guess. Like, I don't know if you did you show, we weren't even doing video when you first got that, right?
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but it's been a long time coming. That's what the bananas say. So
all right, Joe.
I think it's time to go.
Yep. Thanks for rocking with us. You can find us all in the description wherever you're listening or watching, and we appreciate you. Leave us a review if you haven't. We'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.
Later.
Hey, everyone. This is Nick again. Before you take off, do us a solid and head over to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review. Give us a rating on Spotify and Amazon Music, and make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel, because we have even more video content coming soon. Speaking of new content, we have an amazing community of sneaker enthusiasts that hang out in our Sneaker History Discord on a daily basis. While sneakers is a connection point that brought us all together, we've all discovered countless shared passions that we have in common with each other. We recently launched a couple of new podcasts directly from our community. One of them is a Formula One podcast. If you're an F1 fan like me, the Exhaust Notes podcast is your weekly fix of Formula One fun. It's hosted by myself, Rohit Malhotra, and Todd Yates. New episodes drop every Tuesday. I've been wearing fitted hats for years and collecting my favorite teams since I was a little leaguer. It has been awesome to see so many new fans getting into fitteds in recent years. Crown and Stitch is our new talk show about fitted hats with Dexter, Keith, and myself, where we talk about fitted hats, snapbacks, throw in some obscure hats because we all kind of like some funky stuff once in a while, don't we? Copping, collecting, and so much more. New episodes drop every Wednesday. Hit the links in the show notes for this episode to give our new shows a listen, and be on the lookout for more new podcasts dropping soon. Last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to have someone show their appreciation. Thank you all for the support, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Peace.